For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Real, real good, Corey LaJoy. Better than you, I am afraid to say.
Well, that was mean.
Chicago kicked his ass, man. Kicked his ass. He spun out in practice, jacked up his car, spun out in the race yesterday, jacked up his car again.
Well, he's forced to drive 35. Who wants to do that?
I can't drive 65 in this race because there's too many turns, and also I got to go right, and there's no bank. Anyway. Yeah, it did not go great for Corey LaJoy at Chicago. It didn't go great for a lot of guys at Chicago yesterday. I will, however, say the race was good. I enjoyed the race at Chicago yesterday.
I was going to play Burn It Down, but that's already happened. So I just, you know.
Hey, he didn't catch anything on fire.
No, the great Chicago fire. I know it's a really. It's
history
a
joke.
It was a historical
history
reference.
History joke.
Yes, I would have thought that you.
History joke.
Rob Brown would have got it.
I like it. I like it.
Maybe that's what happened. Well, your historical sense of humor is gone. Oh, no.
I don't think so. I listened to a podcast last night about Daniel Morgan and the Battle of Cowpens again. I'm fascinated. So, no, I don't think. Well, that was last night. That wasn't this morning. That's fair. No, I think I'm going to go home and re-listen to it, though. So, maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe
something happened.
Maybe that's where the trigger happened.
Something happened to me, man, and I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'd like to. Hey, let's get to a bunch of stories here. Let's just run through a bunch of little stories here. Don't need to spend a ton of time on LeBron James has signed his new contract with the LA Lakers, but he, for the first time in like his career, did not sign a max value contract, a two-year extension for just over $101 million. It'll take him through his 23rd season of the league. It edged Vince Carter's 22-year career, which is currently the record. The deal is approximately $2.7 million below the $104 million max. The contract includes a player option for year two, which grants James a default no-trade clause if he plays two consecutive seasons on one-year guarantees with his vet status. Rich Paul, the little finger of the NBA, told ESPN last week that James would be willing to take a pay cut to help LA land a, quote, impact player in free agency by opening up the $12.9 million mid-level exemption. That gesture went for naught as the Lakers were courting both Klay Thompson from Golden State and DeMar DeRozan from the Bulls, but neither ended up a Laker. Klay Thompson, of course, headed down to the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, to play alongside Luka and Kyrie. DeMar DeRozan, we found out yesterday, is headed out to Sacramento as Harrison Barnes was sent back to Chicago. A move that, honestly, I don't really understand. I don't think it makes Sacramento better. You just traded a guy who shoots 40% from three and made twice as many three-pointers last season as DeMar DeRozan did for a guy that is a slasher but doesn't really have a shot. Like, he's a good shooter, but Harrison Barnes is a better shooter. So I don't entirely understand what this move was meant to do for Sacramento. But LeBron James willing to take less pay to help the Lakers do something. Lakers fans just kind of poking him with a stick right now. Do something. You going to do something? You not going to do something? And they have not done something yet. So that's kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting. NASCAR. Speaking of NASCAR, we talked a lot of NASCAR earlier in the show, and we may get back to it at some point. Speaking of NASCAR, those of y'all that have been to a race, you know that the most electrifying moment in a NASCAR race is, gentlemen, start your engines. And hearing a million horsepower roar to life on pit road before they take off for the warm-up laps. NASCAR unveiled its first electric race car on Saturday in Chicago, the top motorsports series in North America, partnered with Chevy, Ford, Toyota, and electrification company ABB to demonstrate a high-performance electric vehicle and gauge fan interest in electric racing. NASCAR's head of sustainability, Riley Nelson, said that they want to represent electric vehicles and, more broadly, electrification in racing as cool, fun, and accessible. The AP got its first look at what is described as a $1.5 million prototype. The only person to have driven it so far is semi-retired NASCAR driver David Ragan. The plan is to put the car up on the Chicago street course for some laps yesterday. I have not seen if they were able to do so because of the rain and the delayed race, etc. Ragan said the sound and the smell was unlike anything he has experienced since first hitting the racetrack at age 11. He said the car had the power to squeal the tires. He said you could smell the brakes. He said in gasoline-powered cars, the engine sound and smell and heat from the exhaust overpower everything else. But after hundreds of laps, he said the car performed exceptionally well.
What happens if an electric car wrecks?
Same thing as when a gas, actually less dangerous than when a gasoline
really?
Car wrecks. Yes.
Okay.
Gasoline is like driving a tank full of substance.
I get that. But
like, if you're going to wreck, I'd rather, let me put it this way. There is some,
And aren't electric batteries heavier?
Yes, but you are also dumping 40 pounds of fuel out of the car. They're not so wildly heavier that it's going to make a dramatic difference.
Okay. All right.
And there is, and I saw this on social media yesterday, and this is one of those times that Rob Brown...
So it has to be true if you saw it on...
No, I'm saying I went and jumped into the research of this particular prototype. There is some belief and acknowledgement. For instance, I saw somebody the other day ask the question, what happens if I'm on an electric boat and it sinks? It sinks. That's what happens.
What, were they worried about electrocution?
No, this individual said, is the answer. This individual said, if there's a shark 10 feet away and I'm on an electric boat and it's sinking, am I better off jumping towards the shark or going down with the boat? And the answer is the boat. I mean, neither, because if the boat sinks, you're in the water with the shark. So it's kind of a dumb question.
That sounds like more of a shark question than it does about what kind of motor you're using.
The premise of the question that was asked by this individual was, if an electric boat goes down, am I going to be shocked to death? And the answer is no.
That's
the answer.
I mean, that's I usually don't say questions are stupid. That's a pretty stupid question.
I don't disagree.
Because aren't you worried about being shocked on the boat? That's electric, that's in the water.
It's also a battery.
Yeah,
because right?
Water will splash into a boat sometimes. You know, you got waves and things like that. I don't know.
I'm not saying, like, everything's hunky-dory. You're on a sinking boat. I'm just saying it's not. Anyway, the point here is they rolled out this electric race car. I do not have, in fact, I need to go see the results. I'm curious as if to, if it got to like top speeds, but they did. They also run it in Chicago. They also ran it in Chicago. They ran it on a street course. It's not exactly a, you know, it's not exactly going to give you the opportunity to truly and genuinely see just how fast this car would be if we ran it on a, say, a super speedway. I'm actually watching some of the clips from it now. And I mean, it just looks like a car, man. Like, it just looks like a car. I'm curious to see where it goes. I'm curious to see if it can keep up. I mean, listen, if it can keep up with NASCAR, I don't know that you're going to put it onto the track with stock car. Let me rephrase that. You can't put it on the track with stock cars. That's why it's stock car racing. But you could develop, NASCAR could develop a second series and have an electric series.
All right, I was looking at, because I was curious, and lithium, according to the internet, lithium ion batteries pack massive amounts of energy in small batteries. And when these batteries catch on fire, they are harder to put out.
Sure.
That's why I was wondering. I mean, if it crashes, would it be more dangerous than when a normal engine?
Here's what I will tell you. From what I have read and what I have seen, the answer is no.
Yeah, Joe, it would sound like a vacuum cleaner race.
Let me rephrase that.
Joe says a NASCAR race without engine noise would be.
It would be. Really, it would be.
It just sounds like vacuum cleaners. Or maybe pod racing. No, because those were big old engines.
I am not saying there is no danger to a lithium ion car battery. There obviously is. It's a ton of energy. It's a ton of electricity. I'm also saying these guys are sitting on top of 2,500 pounds of steel with stuff designed to explode as its primary fuel source. I don't think it's any more. I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong, and I will absolutely do the research behind it because I am truly curious, right?
Maybe you did last night or this morning for an hour.
And I hated it, so I blanked out. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I lost an hour of my life. I don't know what happened. What I am interested in is if it goes well. If they crank out an electric car, and let's say they take it to Daytona, and let's say it can do a buck 95, right? Let's say it can do 195. Let's say it can do a buck 95 around corners and through the banks, and it looks and drives just like a NASCAR stock car, right? Same speed, same handling. Hell, let's say it handles better. It's not going to, because at the end of the day, you can only do so much with tires and aerodynamics. But let's say it handles every bit, if not slightly better, than a traditional NASCAR stock car. Could NASCAR prop up a second circuit, right? Same schedule, same races, but you got the traditional stock car on Sundays and the electric cars on Saturday. I don't know. I'm interested. All I'm saying is I'm interested, all right? This is what I was saying earlier about NASCAR and about the Chicago race. Because my guy Cole Bryson said on Twitter on Sunday, you guys can keep the electric cars. You guys can keep the electric cars. That's not what he said. He said you can keep the street races. You can keep the street races. Just give me the... And I said, I don't know, man. Like, I want my NASCAR champ to prove that he's a versatile driver, right? I want my NASCAR champion to prove that he can drive super speedways. And he can drive short tracks. And he can drive oddly shaped traps like Pocono. And he can drive 1.5 mile cookie cutters. And he can drive street. And he can drive road. I want him to be able to prove that he is a versatile driver because I think it should be the best driver. And there are tracks. The 1.5 mile cookie cutters, as boring as they are as races, I have made the argument they do serve a purpose. There should be fewer of them. But they serve a purpose. And the purpose that they serve is that those tracks are not won and lost by the driver. On a 1.5 mile traditional cookie cutter track, those are not won by the driver. Those are won by the pit crew and the crew chief. Those are won by the engineers. Those are the ones that are won in the shop on Monday and Tuesday by the guys and gals that are working with the fiberglass and working with the metal and working with the engines and making sure that the gears are tuned the way they want them and making sure that the limits are set, et cetera, et cetera. That's who wins those races. It's made by the crew chief making good refueling strategy calls. It's made by the pit crew who may shave a quarter of a second off of a pit stop for a driver who wins by 0.2. It could be any of those things. So I think there's importance there because I do think that the NASCAR championship should include crew chief. It should include pit crew. But it should also include the most versatile driver on the circuit. And having all these different tracks is important. But I also think that versatility in what product you're showing to your audience for a sport like NASCAR is important, right? I don't necessarily think it's that way for, say, football or basketball. I think for football and basketball and baseball, the game should remain the same because it's teams out there playing a game that we all know. I don't have an issue with NASCAR having multiple different tracks. I also don't have an issue with them testing out new tech. I also don't have an issue with them finding out what tech looks like, how it performs, the results on track, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have any issue with that at all. And so, to me, throwing this out as much as a lot of folks, and I think I'm going to put Cole into this conversation respectfully, and I'll see if he wants to address it or not. But I think there are a lot of people who have the attitude of, that's not the sport the way I like it, therefore it is bad. That's not the sport that I want it to be, therefore it is bad. And nobody's...
What's wrong with that opinion? It's your opinion, and if that's what you decide, then you've decided that. I think the scary part is if a lot of people decide that.
The problem that I think I have with it is that if that is the way it operated, a lot of sports wouldn't be there. Go back to football in the 1930s or 40s or whenever it was that they adopted the forward pass, right? You couldn't throw the... In the old school of football, it was rugby. You didn't throw the ball. It was just 100% runs. And then one day, some big smart boy took a snap and said, wait. They think we're going to run it. So when you snap me the ball, what I want you to do is I want you to go line up over there and I just want you to run straight down the field. I'm going to toss it. Oh, good friend, go down there and I'll toss it too. I don't know why he's... I was trying to do like an old 20s voice. Yeah, see, so you run down there and I'll throw you the ball.
There you go.
See?
That's closer. You were going British.
I don't know where that was coming from. I am intrigued by... There's a gigantic-ass spider building a web right outside the window.
Oh, I see it now.
He's a big boy. I am sure that when somebody threw the football for the first time, there was a lot of folks who went, whoa, 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 whoa. Like that. You can't do that. And somebody else went, why not?
Listen, it was the guy who's been on more memes this weekend than anybody in the history of mankind. Then I told Vince, no, we're going to call it WrestleMania.
Rock's going down the Hogan path of just making everything up.
No,
to be
you
cool.
haven't. You haven't seen any.
Yeah,
of
Yeah, I've heard about it. I haven't seen it yet.
It's because of from the documentary where he took credit for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So now he just
people are making
fun of him.
I like the meme.
Yeah, he's getting destroyed. He is.
So the whoa moment is, I'm sure there were a lot of football fans back in the day that when somebody threw a ball for the first time were like, no.
I think the bigger surprise is not that the guy threw it, but the guy caught it.
Yeah.
Someone had to catch it.
Was the thought. But then what happened? A lot of other people went, well, let's try it. Let's see how this goes. Let's see how this works. Let's see what this looks like. And now we have football with Patrick Mahomes, which is better. It's just better. So I think, and I could be wrong here, and I'll be listening to Wire to Wire when he addresses it. I think this was just a, this isn't what I like, so it's bad moment from Cole. And I don't necessarily agree with it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
So the Atlanta Braves take 2 out of 3 against the Philadelphia Phillies. The NL leading Philadelphia Phillies, by the way, a team that they have not seen since back on opening day. As a matter of fact, it was the 49th win for the Atlanta Braves. They are 49-39, 8 games back within the division. Pretty good spot overall. Braves are 20-22 on the road, but they are 29-17 at the house. All three teams, the Phillies, Braves, and Mets at the top of the NL East are 5-5 as it stands. The Braves with 49 wins would be in second place in both the NL Central and the NL West, if you are looking for an apt comparison. What happened? Let's look at this from a couple of different ways. Number one, and this is the thing that jumped off the page at me. Last year's Phillies are this year's Braves, and this year's Braves are last year's Phillies. Think about where we were at this point last season. Last season, at this point, the Philadelphia Phillies were hanging out around 8 to 10 games behind the Atlanta Braves. Last year, at this point, the Atlanta Braves were the best team in the National League. Last year at this point, our all-star roster came out, and the Braves had seven players on it. This year, every one of those things is the opposite. This year, the Phillies are the best team in the National League, clear of the Dodgers by 3 games. This year, the Phillies have 7 All-Stars on the All-Star game roster. This year, it is the Braves who find themselves 8 games back, hovering between 11 and 7 for the past couple of months now. It's exactly the opposite. It is a mirror image of these two teams from where they were last year. All the things true of the Phillies last year, true of the Braves this year. All the things true of the Braves this year, true of the Phillies last year. Then what happened? We got to the playoffs. We got to the NL Divisional Series. And a Philly team that was second in the NL East, that was the last wild card in, the Phillies came and beat the Braves. They just beat them. Beat the Braves last year. So, in a weird way, there's almost hope. There's almost hope in this, right? There's almost hope. If this team is doing what this team is doing, if this team is doing everything last year's Philly team did, and Philly figured out how to get hot headed into the playoffs, Philly figured out how to get hot before they took on Atlanta, Philly figured out how to get hot to win the wild card series, maybe the Braves can do it too as well. Now, the second part, where did this little 2 out of 3 game run against Philadelphia come from? It came off the bump. Now, the bats were hot yesterday. Jared got one. Matty got one. Eli got one. Who else? Duval got one. There was a lot going on with the bats yesterday. But we also know Atlanta has been very streaky with the lumber. It has been hit or miss with the lumber all season long. What's not been inconsistent? Chris Sale has not been inconsistent. Leads Major League Baseball in wins. Reynaldo Lopez has not been inconsistent. Reynaldo Lopez has the, 4th lowest ERA of the first 16 starts of the season in baseball history. It's like a 1.76 right now? Like a 1.76? I mean, Reynaldo Lopez has been nothing short of electrifying so far this season. And the Braves are being kept alive because of it. The Braves are being kept alive. And it's fun to watch when they are good. So you take 2 out of 3 against Philly. I think you are, at this point, if you're Atlanta, I think you are basically trying to figure out where you're going until the deadline. There's a lot of injuries. Money Mike's injured. Ronald Acuna Jr. out for the year. Spencer Strider is out for the year. We know all of these things, all right? That is why guys like Eli White are getting called up and asked to do big things in big spots. And he did yesterday. He did. Chris Sale, by the way, on the bump today against the Arizona Diamondbacks out in Arizona. Chris Sale going to the bump is about as close to able to be confident as you can be in the Atlanta Braves right now. But I think at this point, the Bravos are playing towards surviving until the trade deadline. Survive until the trade deadline. I think that's the goal. By the way, Eli White, the homer masher from yesterday, from Greenville, South Carolina, as a matter of fact. How about that? So I don't have an issue with that. I do not have an issue with that. The last couple of years, the run for Atlanta was made post-trade deadline. I mean, they were good at this point last year. The World Series year, they were actually in a similar spot to this year, but it is going to be, the season is going to be dictated by Alex Anthopoulos by the general manager. That's who's going to dictate what happens to Atlanta in the second half of the season. I think an outfield bat has to be added. Luis Robert Jr. from Chicago's in that mix. I'll tell you who I'd love. I'd love to see Tampa Bay legend Randy Arozarena. I know Randy's having a tough year this year, but Randy Arozarena is still a dude. And he strikes me as a dude that just needs a change of scenery. That's how he strikes me. He needs a change. You give that man a change of scenery, and I think Randy Arozarena can go back to being an absolute stub muffin. That's the move I'd like to see, him or Robert Jr. The problem you're going to have with the Braves, I think, as we approach deadline. The problem I think you're going to end up having with the Braves as we approach trade deadline is that there are way, way many buyers and way not many sellers. That's it. We talked about this a little bit on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday. Look at the National League right now. There are, in the National League, two teams that are out of the wild card race. Two. There's two. The Rockies and the Marlins. There are three wild card spots. Right now, the Phillies would be in as the winners of the East. The Brewers would be in as the winners of the Central. And the Dodgers would be in as the winners of the West. The three wild card teams would be the 49-win Atlanta Braves, the 49-win San Diego Padres, and the 47-win St. Louis Cardinals. So who's not in right now? The Mets, 44. They're three games out. The Nationals, 42. They're five games out. The Pirates, 42. They're five games out. The Reds, 42. They're five games out. The Diamondbacks, 45. They're two games out. The Giants, 44. They're three games out. There are two teams not in the NL mix. And so my question becomes, if you are not in a wild card spot right now, but you are within, let's say, four or five games, you want to go for it, right? The goal is to win the World Series. To win the World Series, you got to get in the playoffs. So I think the goal for most of these teams is going to be go for it. But going for it for these teams that are hanging out at 43, 44, 45 wins, going for it means they got to be aggressive at the deadline. Got to be aggressive at the deadline. And in order to be aggressive at the deadline, there's got to be guys you can go be aggressive for. And I just don't think that there are right now. There are two teams selling in the National League. In the American League, the Orioles have 57 wins. They win the East. 56 for the Guardians in the Central. 49 for the Mariners in the West. The wild card spots today would be the 55-win Yankees, the 51-win Twins, and either the 49-win Red Sox or the Royals. So who's out of it? The Athletics with 34, the Angels with 37, the White Sox with 26. In all of Major League Baseball, there are five teams that are clear sellers. The Rockies have like two guys worth trading for. The Reds, and I'm talking position players, not pitchers. They have like two guys worth trading for. The White Sox have like two guys worth trading for. I don't think the A's have any. The Braves have already cleaned them out. And I don't think the Angels have any. So you got five teams that are sellers and you have like seven players available. None of them true superstars. I don't know what to make of it if I'm Atlanta. You want to be aggressive? I don't know how you can. Let's wrap up the show next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you on a lovely Upstate Monday morning. Sky is beginning to clear off, which is nice. A little blue sky day. College football national championship winner odds have begun to shift a little bit due to the spring, due to new information, and of course due to the money that people are putting in right now. Georgia remains your odds-on favorite to win the Natty this year. They are now 3-1. That number has come up a little bit. Ohio State is now your second most either bet or believed in team at plus 325. What I'm more interested in is the big drop down after that. Georgia 3-1, Buckeyes plus 325. The next team you find up is Hoomst. Great one. Who's next on the list of most likely national champion according to the Vegas odds?
Alabama.
They are fifth. Texas.
Okay.
Can I ask a sincere question? Why is everybody jumping on Texas all of the sudden? Is it because they beat Alabama last year? Like, is that the reason that everybody is jumping on this? Because I kind of don't get it, if I may keep it a buck, so to speak.
Where does Texas play now? What conference?
That would be the SEC, where it just means more.
So they expect them to, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's my thing. And again, we could theoretically, I guess, say the same thing about Georgia, except for obviously Georgia has dominated this conference up until the SEC championship game last year, which they lost to Alabama. It knocked them out of the college football playoff and obviously sent Alabama in Florida State's stead. Here's what I don't get. Why? Like, I truly don't understand it. I think Texas is going to be good. I think Texas is going to be fine. I will say first and foremost, and this is one thing I don't get. I don't get how Quinn Ewers is a Heisman favorite coming into this year already. I truly don't understand that at all. Like, I think Quinn Ewers is a good quarterback. I'm not losing my mind over him, man. Like, I think he's good. But I'm not beating the Warhammer that Quinn Ewers is a Heisman lock to be in New York. I think he's going to be fine. But he doesn't have a deep ball, and I legitimately think you kind of need a deep ball to win the Southeastern Conference. I don't think you can win the SEC without at least being a deep threat. And I don't see him as a deep threat. Like, I think he's fine. I think he's got, for all that Lonzo has discussed about Bryce Young's footwork, I don't think Quinn Ewers has excellent footwork. I don't think he has Heisman championship caliber footwork. I think he's fine. You lost John Brooks. You lost Adonai Mitchell. Like, I don't get how it is that the eyes of the nation are upon UT. All the live long day. That makes sense to me. After Texas, this is another one that's interesting. The second Big Ten team makes the list, and it ain't Michigan. It's the Oregon Ducks at 8-1. Actually, don't dislike this one.
Man, it's going to take. How long is it going to take to get used to that?
The Oregon Ducks being a Pac-10 team?
No, Big Ten.
Excuse me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I know it is after July 8th that it will. As it was earlier when I read the words Power Four, and I was like, what? Oregon is 8-1. I love Dan Lanning as coach. I love Dan Lanning. I think Dan Lanning does everything right. I think Dan Lanning is the perfect mix of player coach, but also guy who has a disciplined football team. I think you go back and look at what Oregon accomplished last year. The only team that could take down Oregon was Washington, who made it to the Natty. I think this Oregon team's going to, and they got a lot coming back next year. They don't have Bo Nix coming back. But I'm going to be straight up. I don't think Bo Nix was what made that team special last year. Bo Nix was captain checkdown last year. He's good, but I don't think he was great. I don't have a lot of expectations for Bo Nix at the NFL level for that exact reason. I think he's fine. I don't think he's going to be a world beater. Oregon's bringing back a lot of talent. And then you drop down again. So we went from 300 and 325 to 775 and 800. And then we dropped down, great one, to Alabama, 15 to 1. Plus 1,500 are the Crimson Tide. As are Ole Miss. That one I don't get either. I love, y'all know I love me some Lane Kiffin. All right? I love Lane Kiffin, the troll. I love Lane Kiffin, the internet warrior. I love Lane Kiffin, the smartass. I love Lane Kiffin, the self-proclaimed portal king. I love Lane Kiffin. I think Lane Kiffin's good for college football. I also think Lane Kiffin is great for sports talk radio. I love Lane Kiffin. I do not get Ole Miss at 15 to 1. Somebody explain that to me. Why are we doing this again? Why do we do this with the Mississippi teams every year? Every year we pick one to say, this is it. This is the year. But somebody explain to me why I'm afraid of the why am I supposed to be afraid of the SIP?
They got
to
put somebody in there, so why not them?
Well, because right after Ole Miss comes a 17 to 1 LSU team that will be better. Then a 20 to 1 20 to 1 Penn State team, who is tied with Notre Dame. I understand the narrative about Penn State. Can't win a big game, right? It's like they're in it every year, and then every year they get slapped in the mouth by either Michigan or Ohio State or both. They beat everybody else. It is wildly frustrating. I bet if you took James Franklin's winning percentage at Penn State and you erased only games against Michigan and Ohio State, James Franklin's win percentage is probably like 98%. Because those are the only teams that beat him over and over. Penn State, now that they can get into the playoff as the third best team in the Big Ten, if they are. By the way, I don't know that they will be. I think Oregon. Actually, I think Michigan will be the third best team in the Big Ten. I think Oregon's the second.
I was going to say, it would be interesting to see if there's a drop-off with Harbaugh gone. So, yeah.
Well, I will tell you right now that after Penn State and Notre Dame at 20-1, Michigan is 25-1 to repeat. It's fair, though. You lost J.J. McCarthy. You lost Blake Corum. You lost half the defense. I mean, they lost Michigan lost a lot to graduation and to the NFL. Like, a lot to the NFL draft. It is going to take, and for the record, I love Sherrod Moore. I do. Like, him stepping in as the interim last year, after the second game he was the interim, like, there's your next head coach if Jim leaves.
Nah, he had an earpiece.
Conspiracy everywhere. I like him a lot, but it is going to take rebuilding time. Michigan and Florida State are tied at 25-1. Tennessee, this is another weird one for me. Because on one hand, I got guys like PJ Glasser from the BetQL Network telling me, oh, don't you worry about this, Cat. Don't you worry about this. Tennessee is going to be studly. Tennessee is going to be a team, a bunch of dudes. They got Ayam Oliva playing quarterback. He's going to be a great player. They got all his talent like Squirrel. He's going to be great. Yet Tennessee finds themselves all the way down at 30-1. Tied, by the way, just ahead of, by the way, Mizzou at 35-1, A&M at 40-1, Utah at 40-1, and then, great one, the Clemson Tigers at 45-1 to win the national championship. 45-1 behind Missouri? What? There are three ways of making a bet like this. The first way is to pick teams you genuinely think will win the Natty. Those are the Georgias. Those are the Ohio States. And recognize that you're not going to get paid out as much if they win. The second way that you can make these selections are narrative bets, right? Narrative bets. Here's the narrative bet. Narrative bet, Kalen DeBoer steps in and Alabama doesn't miss a beat. And Alabama wins the Natty in his very first year. That's a narrative bet. Doesn't necessarily mean you think that's going to happen, but it's more along the lines of, sports loves to tell stories within itself, and that would be an incredible one. And then there's the third, which is a value bet. Value bet is when you look and you go, this is unlikely, but not impossible. This is unlikely, but not impossible. And I know I'm getting really good numbers here. If Clemson wins the Natty, you win $45 for every dollar you put on the table. That's a ridiculous number, right? So what I usually do in a spot like this is I will make six or seven bets, right? I'll pick a favorite, Georgia. Then I'll pick a second runner, Oregon. I'll pick a narrative bet, Alabama at 15-1. I'll pick a personal favorite, right? I'll pick a school I would love to see win, LSU at 17-1. And then you start looking down for your value bets. Florida State at 25-1. Tell you right now, you want to know what narrative I'm looking forward to? What happens if DJ Uiagalelei sets the world on fire in Tallahassee? I'm not saying he is. I'm saying what if he does? Narrative bet. And you get him at 25-1. And then I would bet a Clemson at 45-1. Why? Because the odds that they get it done are very, very low. But man, if they do, I'm going to make a ton of money. But Clemson being behind Missouri. Really? Explain that one to me, please.
Just trying to figure out how to explain that one to you.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, Clemson is a long shot. Totally fine, right? Totally fine. Got a lot to prove. Clemson behind Missouri?
We'll see how it plays out. All right, the first thing that's Xing this morning is Agatha All Along.
Does that drop soon?
The trailer is supposed to drop today.
Dope.
That like is it. Why is Xing.
I'm actually pretty excited about that. It's
supposed
because,
to be a horror.
Yeah,
thing.
I'm kind of excited about it. Because the character Agatha in the Scarlet Witch show, which by the way, I think of all of the TV shows Marvel's done, I actually think I like Scarlet Witch the most. I also like that Scarlet Witch very heavily leaned into the kind of crazy of Wanda, right? Agatha popped out of nowhere as a fan favorite. The actress was incredible. And the moment that towards the end when she went and I killed their dog, I was like, oh, did it in a weird way of all of the chaos and destruction between all of that. Did Agatha saying and I killed their dog not like feel like it upped the stakes dramatically?
It was sparky. Yeah, yeah. That's when it started.
I was like, oh, she's evil.
Kind of suspected all along. My favorite's still Hawkeye. The next thing that's X-ing
really like Hawkeye
is John Cena.
John Cena, I see you, John Cena. We're going to talk about this when we do Fight Club on Wednesday this week because Lonzo's out on Thursday. John Cena announced his retirement from wrestling before Money in the Bank on Saturday evening. He did say that he will compete up through WrestleMania in Las Vegas next year, but that will be his last event.
He's now said he's going the entire year. So,
oh, he's gonna. Well, yeah, he's I mean, going,
so
post WrestleMania, what do you do?
2025 is it for him? And you know,
16. I'm not gonna do that. The 16-time champ, calling it a career, man. And one of the greatest.
Do they do it? Do they pull the trigger?
Giving him one more run.
Give him one more.
I absolutely think so.
I think so too.
I absolutely think so. Especially with, and again, this isn't. They're not gonna never say this is why, but especially with Rick going over to make an A-dub run. It would not shock me to see them put the strap on him one more time, even if it's just like a quick 1 month. Maybe he shows up on a couple of Raws.
They give it to him, and then a year later, Randy passes him up.
Yep, I would bet. I would be willing to bet that.
All right, the next thing that's Xing, and I got to admit, I don't know why, but Al Capone is Xing.
Okay, so I did read somewhere, by the way, Scotty at BMW Texas show, he said, Rob, for Texas, it's NIL money. Okay. I might be. I just don't see the talent there. The reason, I don't know if this is the reason, I saw earlier that some previously unreleased autopsy reports were released on Al Capone, And now there's a bunch of conspiracy theorists up there arguing that maybe, because it wasn't it like syphilis that killed him?
I believe it was syphilis while he was in jail.
A lot of people saying that, a lot of conspiracy theorists now saying that they don't believe that it was syphilis. They think the government straight up murdered him while he was in prison and then blamed it on syphilis. But apparently there is, there's some new autopsy reports out there that may or may not play into it. I don't know yet.
All right. And the last thing that's exiting is Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry is trending because we all believe in Joe Hendry.
Yes, we do.
And also because apparently at the, I don't know if it was last night or on NXT last week, apparently Book got up and grabbed a I Believe in Joe Hendry sign at an NXT event and ripped it in half and threw it on the ground and stomped on it.
Oh, that's not why, but I can't tell you why.
I also saw they run a Joe Hendry video after the event last night?
That just him doing that right after the thing was over. That's all. Just really quick.
It's because we all believe in Joe Hendry. See you guys back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
Yeah!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you on a lovely Upstate Monday morning. Sky is beginning to clear off, which is nice. A little blue sky day. College football national championship winner odds have begun to shift a little bit due to the spring, due to new information, and of course due to the money that people are putting in right now. Georgia remains your odds-on favorite to win the Natty this year. They are now 3-1. That number has come up a little bit. Ohio State is now your second most either bet or believed in team at +325. What I'm more interested in is the big drop down after that. Georgia 3-1, Buckeyes +325. The next team you find up is Hoomst. Great one. Who's next on the list of most likely national champion according to the Vegas odds?
Alabama.
They are fifth. Texas.
Okay.
Can I ask a sincere question? Why is everybody jumping on Texas all of the sudden? Is it because they beat Alabama last year? Like, is that the reason that everybody is jumping on this? Because I kind of don't get it, if I may keep it a buck, so to speak.
Where does Texas play now? What conference?
That would be the SEC, where it just means more.
So they expect them to, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's my thing. And again, we could theoretically, I guess, say the same thing about Georgia, except for obviously Georgia has dominated this conference up until the SEC championship game last year, which they lost to Alabama. It knocked them out of the college football playoff and obviously sent Alabama in Florida State's stead. Here's what I don't get. Why? Like, I truly don't understand it. I think Texas is going to be good. I think Texas is going to be fine. I will say first and foremost, and this is one thing I don't get. I don't get how Quinn Ewers is a Heisman favorite coming into this year already. I truly don't understand that at all. Like, I think Quinn Ewers is a good quarterback. I'm not losing my mind over him, man. Like, I think he's good. But I'm not beating the Warhammer that Quinn Ewers is a Heisman lock to be in New York. I think he's going to be fine. But he doesn't have a deep ball, and I legitimately think you kind of need a deep ball to win the Southeastern Conference. I don't think you can win the SEC without at least being a deep threat. And I don't see him as a deep threat. Like, I think he's fine. I think he's got, for all that Lonzo has discussed about Bryce Young's footwork, I don't think Quinn Ewers has excellent footwork. I don't think he has Heisman championship caliber footwork. I think he's fine. You lost John Brooks. You lost Adonai Mitchell. Like, I don't get how it is that the eyes of the nation are upon UT. All the live long day. That makes sense to me. After Texas, this is another one that's interesting. The second Big Ten team makes the list, and it ain't Michigan. It's the Oregon Ducks at 8-1. Actually, don't dislike this one.
Man, it's going to take. How long is it going to take to get used to that?
The Oregon Ducks being a Pac-10 team?
No, Big Ten.
Excuse me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I know it is after July 8th that it will. As it was earlier when I read the words Power 4, and I was like, blah, 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 what? Oregon is 8-1. I love Dan Lanning as coach. I love Dan Lanning. I think Dan Lanning does everything right. I think Dan Lanning is the perfect mix of player coach, but also guy who has a disciplined football team. I think you go back and look at what Oregon accomplished last year. The only team that could take down Oregon was Washington, who made it to the Natty. I think this Oregon team's going to, and they got a lot coming back next year. They don't have Bo Nix coming back. But I'm going to be straight up. I don't think Bo Nix was what made that team special last year. Bo Nix was captain checkdown last year. He's good, but I don't think he was great. I don't have a lot of expectations for Bo Nix at the NFL level for that exact reason. I think he's fine. I don't think he's going to be a world beater. Oregon's bringing back a lot of talent. And then you drop down again. So we went from 300 and 325 to 775 and 800. And then we drop down, great one, to Alabama, 15-1. Plus 1,500 are the Crimson Tide. As are Ole Miss. That one I don't get either. I love, y'all know I love me some Lane Kiffin, all right? I love Lane Kiffin, the troll. I love Lane Kiffin, the internet warrior. I love Lane Kiffin, the smartass. I love Lane Kiffin, the self-proclaimed portal king. I love Lane Kiffin. I think Lane Kiffin's good for college football. I also think Lane Kiffin is great for sports talk radio. I love Lane Kiffin. I do not get Ole Miss at 15-1. Somebody explain that to me. Why are we doing this again? Why do we do this with the Mississippi teams every year? Every year we pick one to say, this is it. This is the year. But somebody explain to me why I'm afraid of the why am I supposed to be afraid of the SIP?
They got to put somebody in there, so why not them?
Well, because right after Ole Miss comes a 17-1 LSU team that will be better. Then a 20-1 Penn State team who is tied with Notre Dame. I understand the narrative about Penn State. Can't win a big game, right? It's like they're in it every year, and then every year they get slapped in the mouth by either Michigan or Ohio State or both. They beat everybody else. It is wildly frustrating. I bet if you took James Franklin's winning percentage at Penn State and you erased only games against Michigan and Ohio State, James Franklin's win percentage is probably like 98%. Because those are the only teams that beat him over and over. Penn State, now that they can get into the playoff, as the third best team in the Big Ten, if they are. By the way, I don't know that they will be. I think Oregon. Actually, I think Michigan will be the third best team in the Big Ten. I think Oregon's the second.
I was going to say, it would be interesting to see if there's a drop-off with Harbaugh gone. So, yeah.
Well, I will tell you right now that after Penn State and Notre Dame at 20-1, Michigan is 25-1 to repeat. It's fair, though. You lost J.J. McCarthy. You lost Blake Corum. You lost half the defense. I mean, they lost Michigan lost a lot to graduation and to the NFL draft. Like, a lot to the NFL draft. It is going to take. And for the record, I love Sean Moore. I do. Like, him stepping in as the interim last year. After the second game, he was the interim. I'm like, there's your next head coach if Jim leaves.
Nah, he had an earpiece.
Conspiracy everywhere. I like him a lot, but it is going to take rebuilding time. Michigan and Florida State are tied at 25-1. Tennessee, this is another weird one for me. Because on one hand, I got guys like PJ Glasser from the BetQL Network telling me, oh, don't you worry about this, Cat. Don't you worry about this. Tennessee is going to be studly. Tennessee is going to be a team, a bunch of dudes. They got Ayamaliva Leva playing quarterback. He's going to be a great player. They got all this talent like Squirrel. He's going to be great. Yet Tennessee finds themselves all the way down at 30-1. Tied, by the way. Just ahead of, by the way, Mizzou at 35-1, A&M at 40-1, Utah at 40-1, and then, great one, the Clemson Tigers at 45-1 to win the national championship. 45-1 behind Missouri? What? There are three ways of making a bet like this. The first way is to pick teams you genuinely think will win the Natty. Those are the Georgias. Those are the Ohio States. And recognize that you're not going to get paid out as much if they win. The second way that you can make these selections are narrative bets, right? Narrative bets. Here's the narrative bet. Narrative bet, Kalen DeBoer steps in and Alabama doesn't miss a beat. And Alabama wins the Natty in his very first year. That's a narrative bet. Doesn't necessarily mean you think that's going to happen, but it's more along the lines of sports loves to tell stories within itself. And that would be an incredible one. And then there's the third, which is a value bet. Value bet is when you look and you go, this is unlikely, but not impossible. This is unlikely, but not impossible. And I know I'm getting really good numbers here. If Clemson wins the Natty, You win $45 for every dollar you put on the table. That's a ridiculous number, right? So what I usually do in a spot like this is I will make six or seven bets, right? I'll pick a favorite, Georgia. Then I'll pick a second runner, Oregon. I'll pick a narrative bet, Alabama at 15-1. I'll pick a personal favorite, right? I'll pick a school I would love to see win, LSU at 17-1. And then you start looking down for your value bets. Florida State at 25-1. I'll tell you right now, you want to know what narrative I'm looking forward to? What happens if DJ Uiagalelei sets the world on fire in Tallahassee? I'm not saying he is. I'm saying what if he does? Narrative bet. And you get him at 25-1. And then I would bet a Clemson at 45-1. Why? Because the odds that they get it done are very, very low. But man, if they do, I'm going to make a ton of money. But Clemson being behind Missouri. Really? Explain that one to me, please.
Just trying to figure out how to explain that one to you.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, Clemson is a long shot. Totally fine, right? Totally fine. Got a lot to prove. Clemson behind Missouri?
We'll see how it plays out. All right, the first thing that's Xing this morning is Agatha All Along.
Does that drop soon?
The trailer is supposed to drop today.
Dope.
That like is it. Why is Xing.
I'm actually pretty excited about that.
Supposed to be a horror.
Yeah, thing. I'm kind of excited about it. Because the character Agatha in the Scarlet Witch show, which by the way, I think of all of the TV shows Marvel's done, I actually think I like Scarlet Witch the most. I also like that Scarlet Witch very heavily leaned into the kind of crazy of Wanda, right? Agatha popped out of nowhere as a fan favorite. The actress was incredible. And the moment that towards the end when she went and I killed their dog, I was like, oh, did it in a weird way of all of the chaos and destruction between all of that. Did Agatha saying and I killed their dog not like feel like it upped the stakes dramatically?
It was sparky. Yeah, yeah. That's when it started.
I was like, oh, she's evil.
Kind of suspected all along. My favorite's still Hawkeye. The next thing that's X-ing,
I really like Hawkeye,
is John Cena.
John Cena. I see you, John Cena. We're going to talk about this when we do Fight Club on Wednesday this week, because Lonzo's out on Thursday. John Cena announced his retirement from wrestling before Money in the Bank on Saturday evening. He did say that he will compete up through WrestleMania in Las Vegas next year, but that will be his last event.
He's now said he's going the entire year. So,
oh, he's gonna. Well, yeah, he's I mean, going,
so
post WrestleMania, what do you do?
2025 is it for him? And you know,
16. I'm not gonna do that. The 16-time champ, calling it a career, man. And one of the greatest.
Do they do it? Do they pull the trigger?
Give him one more run.
Give him one more.
I absolutely think so.
I think so too.
I absolutely think so. Especially with, and again, this isn't. They're not gonna never say this is why, but especially with Rick going over to make an A-dub run. It would not shock me to see them put the strap on him one more time, even if it's just like a quick 1 month. Maybe he shows up on a couple of Raws.
They give it to him, and then a year later, Randy passes him up.
Yep, I would bet. I would be willing to bet that.
All right, the next thing that's Xing, and I got to admit, I don't know why, but Al Capone is Xing.
Okay, so I did read somewhere, by the way, Scotty at BMW Texas show. He said, Rob, for Texas, it's NIL money. Okay. I might be. I just don't see the talent there. The reason, I don't know if this is a reason, I saw earlier that some previously unreleased autopsy reports were released on Al Capone. And now there's a bunch of conspiracy theorists up there arguing that maybe, because wasn't it like syphilis that killed him?
I believe it was syphilis while he was in jail.
A lot of people saying that, a lot of conspiracy theorists now saying that they don't believe that it was syphilis. They think the government straight up murdered him while he was in prison and then blamed it on syphilis. But apparently there is, there's some new autopsy reports out there that may or may not play into it. I don't know yet.
All right. And the last thing that's Xing is Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry is trending because we all believe in Joe Hendry.
Yes, we do.
And also because apparently at the, I don't know if it was last night or on NXT last week, apparently Book got up and grabbed a I Believe in Joe Hendry sign at an NXT event and ripped it in half and threw it on the ground and stomped on it.
Oh, that's not why, but I can't tell you why.
I also saw did they run a Joe Hendry video after the event last night?
That just him doing that right after the thing was over. That's all. Just really quick.
It's because we all believe in Joe Hendry. See you guys back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
Yeah!
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.